You're listening to Send This to Your CEO, the B2B Tech Marketing Podcast, presented by 4B Marketing. Explore the world of B2B tech marketing with industry insiders and experts. Our episodes are packed with the latest insights, strategies, and trends to help you stay ahead in this ever-evolving industry. Whether you want to sharpen your marketing skills or keep up with tech developments, we have everything you need right here.
Perfect. Well, thank you all for joining today. This webinar today is how the tech channel partners can make their competition invisible to the next prospect. I am your host. My name is Sam Grice. I am the director of strategy here at 4B Marketing. We are an outcome-driven full-service marketing agency. And when we say outcome-driven, everything that we do ties back to revenue, cost, risk, and cash flow optimization. Our pantry full of ingredients from a marketing strategy perspective has to tie back to those outcomes. And the reason why we're built like this is because we have spent a career in this space as sellers. I personally have spent a career as a seller for resellers and emerging technology, focused on selling to federal government, SLED, commercial, enterprise, and global. So that's my introduction. But with that, we're lucky to have Michael Hopfinger with Vation Ventures here today. And he plays within the whole ecosystem as well, but I'll let him introduce himself.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Sam. Good to be here today. As Sam said, my name is Michael Hopfinger. I'm with Vation. I manage the client delivery organization over there. And I have a rich channel background. You could say I was sort of born in the channel. I started working in the technology channel in about 2004 or five, and have been in it in some way, shape, or form ever since. Mostly in marketing and marketing leadership roles during that time, but quite a bit of business development and partner development work along the way there too. So this is some of my favorite stuff, working with partners to help grow their business. And that's a little bit of what we do at Vation as well. Vation is a research, innovation, and consulting services company that is sort of born on the assumption and the basis that innovation is really hard. And the two main business units that I manage help a couple of different constituencies deal with the challenge of innovation. So on one hand, we provide research and innovation services to solution providers, technology solution providers, because it's hard to keep up with all the new stuff that's coming out, whether it's trends or whether it's specific technologies. It's difficult to keep up with this rapidly changing landscape. When I think about the other way that innovation is hard, and we try to alleviate some of that pain, is with the getting to market. So we also represent and consult with emerging technologies that are looking to get to market, that are trying to accelerate sales and accelerate growth. And so we help them achieve the financial goals that they seek to achieve faster. So that's a little bit about myself and Vation, and it's great to be here with you, Sam, and to have a little chat and with the rest of you here today. So back to you, Sam.
Awesome. Appreciate you making the time, Hop. Always great to chat with you about this stuff. Before we dive in too far, we will have the chat open. So if you have any questions, we have the Q&A as well. I know that we want to keep this interactive, so we've got a couple of opportunities as we get going to use that chat. As well, at the end, we do have an offer for your team. So be sure to stick around to the end to see what that looks like. Awesome. So as we dive in here, really what we're focused on today is what's different, right? What's different from each partner to the next, right? Being a seller from the space, right? All too often I saw, we have the best engineers. We're client-centric, right? But what truly is that unique value proposition that really differentiates your business from the next, right? What really is going to be the why for why somebody should work with you? Hop, I know that you have some thoughts here as well.
Yeah, oftentimes we're sort of overwhelmed with all the different ways we can market. I mean, should we do webinars or social media or, paid digital ads or all these different options? But if you don't have your sort of story straight, it doesn't really matter. You've got to have a core and consistent value prop that is different. And there's a process to establishing this. And it's a lot of introspection, talking to your customers, talking to your employees, But really defining what is it that makes you special and different in the market, because that as a first step is a requirement for you to get the best return on your marketing investment when you actually do put it into play. So it's just that essential first step, and it's one that's often skipped over. So it bears repeating today, I think.
Yeah, I love that. And we call that foundational. Right? It's a part of building the house, right? All of the extra marketing stuff that we can do, such as ads or programmatic or campaigns or webinars, right? All of it has to tie back to that foundational piece, because if we're building the house, we need to have the avenues and the roads to drive to that house. But if we don't have a structure that's stable and foundational, we're going to have a tough time being able to get that message across to the market.
Yeah. And that's to just add one more point on this. I mean, it's the market's one thing, but your own employees and the culture that you're trying to build within your company should be predicated on this same unique value proposition and sort of propagated through your organization at every individual level. So it's an inside and out thing. And again, it's foundational to Sam's point.
Totally, totally. Big piece with the internal employees, because everybody's a seller, right? Everybody's representing your brand. So making sure everybody is on that same page is extremely important.
Yeah.
And so when we talk about marketing in general, right, we talk about revenue generation, there's really two ways to make money in this industry, right? There's net new clients, and then there's growing existing clients, right? And one of the most difficult things to do is getting those net new clients. And one of the biggest things right now, especially with the economic downturn that we've had and economic uncertainty, right, is being top of mind, being the first one to call, being there so that they know exactly who they're talking to and what they're going to get from that customer and how they can go out and find the correct technology solutions provider for the organization. And so when we look at where the market's sitting today, right, I love showing this slide just because there's no shortage of technology solutions providers today. Right? There's over 500,000 technology solutions providers, consultants, software companies in the United States alone. And so there is a competition there, right? Customers have tons of options on who they can go with to be able to provide these solutions for them, right? That challenge for sellers and marketers is extremely difficult to be top of mind for those customers when they're looking.
Yeah. And when you start in the consideration phase, as opposed to higher up the funnel, it costs you money. It's going to cost you probably more people hours. It's definitely going to cost you more time to get to the deal if there are competitive folks in there. And that's to say nothing of the fact that you might have to play with margin to win the deal too, just on the transactional margin. So there is a definitive cost and multiple definitive costs associated with entering the game and trying to compete at that consideration stage. If you can just be top of mind, you avoid a lot of that mess. And here it is. I mean, it is absolutely real, this margin erosion. And it comes in different ways, shapes, and forms, but none of them are very good.
Yeah, and the margin erosion, I love that story because it is spot on, right? From my history of being a seller in the space, anytime I got into a deal in that consideration phase, right? As a reseller, you make your money off of margin, right? You're playing with little to no points in those deals, right? And for a business perspective, in order for just be able to operate, right, you need 2% margin on a deal, right? Where are you getting that margin? Are you waiting for rebates? Is that how you want to run your business model? What value can you actually bring to the client when all you're focused on is price, right? We want to be entering in that awareness stage, first of mind, first to call, so that we can bring value, one, to the customer and actually transform their business, but also we don't have to worry about margin erosion and fighting for 2 points on a deal just to make sure we can keep our business afloat. Okay. So when we talk about that, right, of being first to mind, right, we never want our customers to be out there thinking, who does this? What is this, right? I have a challenge today. And who can I go to for this? And a perfect example of this was Zoom right before the pandemic. They were giving away their licenses for free, right? An example of this is my own mother, right? She's retired. She's not technology. She doesn't do anything with technology, right? But the first thing that she was doing was going, hey, let's do a Zoom, right? It was synonymous with web conferencing. And for somebody that doesn't know technology, has never done a web conference in their life, to take their logo and their name and use it as a verb to be able to communicate with us, was something that was truly amazing. And it was a testament to Zoom and how they were out there being aware, doing awareness marketing, not knowing that a pandemic's going to hit, but being prevalent within the marketplace so that when it did hit, they were sitting at $600 million in revenue in 2019. Now they're at $4.5 billion, but they grew to $2.5 billion in 2020 alone, right? Having that awareness, being first to mind was a total driver for their business.
Yeah. And not only that, you just shared some short-term benefit, but as we look at that landscape in the web conferencing space, their level of market dominance, even in spite of Teams being sort of native on what a lot of people run their businesses on, they've not only enjoyed short-term benefit there, as Sam just talked about, but they have a road in front of them based on what they did, you know, before the pandemic hit. And they've got a market dominance right now, and it looks like they're going to be that way for a little bit. So short-term and long-term benefit to that kind of an approach, and it certainly has paid off for them.
Totally. And that's a great point, right? For the long-term that they have coming up, right? They did one of the two ways to get clients or get revenue, right? They've landed a whole bunch of new clients. It'll be interesting to see moving forward with Zoom, how they take advantage of those new clients that they have, right? And remarket to those clients because they have more technology than just web conferencing, right? It'll be very interesting to see what that marketing team does and what that sales team does to continue to grow the business because now they have a good foothold on the marketplace. But what are they going to do, right? How are they going to be first to mind with the different solutions that they have?
That's right. Yeah. SaaS, they ring the bell when they sign the renewal. So
totally. So one piece here, right, is being first to mind is your advantage, right? And this is one of the immutable laws of marketing. And this is from a great book called The 22 Immutable Laws of Marketing by Al Ries. And really what this is based off of the first law of marketing in the book. And it talks about how the leading brands in the industry and every market, almost every single one of them are the first to mind, right? Being first to mind so that they know that's who we need to go to, that's who we need to call. Those are going to be the solutions that will be the most effective, right? And even if that solution may not be the best, they're first to mind. That's the key. They're getting the opportunity for the sales team to have a conversation because they are first to mind, right? Then the sales team and the engineering team can have the conversation and come up with customized solutions to be able to support the business. Hop, I know you love this slide. I'll let you take this one, brother.
Sure. So a little interactive session here. So in the chat, we'll just ask a simple question here and you get to enter in one name. So just enter in the first brand that comes to mind if you were to have to buy a new television. And we'll give it 30 seconds or so, if that. And we'll see what names come back. I don't know if you can see chat results on your end. Let me see here. All right. So feel free to, there you go. Thank you, Sam. So we did an unofficial test around our respective offices yesterday, and 100% of the people polled answered Samsung. And you know, as longtime marketers, you know, there was something to this, and it isn't an accident. And in fact, it's more a really great and sort of current story that we're living with right now about a brand that went on offense during the 2008 recession. And continued to market and advertise heavily as everyone else was sort of pulling back in the face of the uncertainty of those days. And Samsung, you know, while they did that and they took that approach prior to the 2008 downturn, they were ranked number 21 in global brand value. Today, Samsung is number 6 in global brand value. And you might say, oh, brand value, it kind of sounds soft. You know, that's great, but what does that mean? And it, for those of you that are skeptics in the audience about brand value, what I will share is that there was a very specific market that was critical to Samsung's strategy overall, And that was the television market and the flat screen television market. And in 2007, the statistics from the primary market research or display search, showed that Samsung's share was 13.6 of the overall television sales globally. LG Electronics was behind at 11.4, and then there were a handful behind them. Fast forward to 2022, Samsung now holds a 29.7% share of the television sold in the world, and they've seen a steady yearly increase ever since 2007, 2008, all the way from 2007 to 2017 to 2020, they were gaining more market share. LG still holds second share at 16.7%. So you can see, and this sounds a little bit like Zoom, that that brand that went on offense during the downturn was the brand that emerged and broke away from the rest. And here 15 years on from that, 10 out of 10 people, if you ask walking around, what kind of TV are you going to buy? You know, if not 10 out of 10, 10 out of 12, we're going to probably say Samsung right off the bat. And once you're first to mind there, it presents such a massive competitive advantage. And we've seen that just year over year over year of market share gains from this brand. So pretty impressive story.
Yeah, that's a great one. That's a great example of one, just restructuring from a business perspective, but also having the internal team understanding where the vision for the company was going to, right? We talked about that a little bit at the beginning of the conversation, but it truly is, you know, for me personally, I know I have two Samsung TVs, right? I always thought of phones and so on, right? But that was a great rebranding for them and a focus of brand awareness that I think all of us can relate to, because all of us have TVs at some point in our house, or, you know, I've got a TV right next to me, right? For Zooms and stuff like that. So,
yeah.
So a couple of things that we've already touched on too, Hop, right? Talking about the length, right? Talking about the length of awareness marketing, and it is a long time, right? And it takes time to show results, and we need to be there ready when the time arises, right? We talked about that with Zoom, of how they were ready for that when it happened, right? Same with Samsung about that, being ready, being first to mind when it came to those kind of situations. And that makes it a little bit difficult, right? It makes it difficult from a budget perspective when we're cutting budgets because of economic downturn. All of these pieces come into play, and it's difficult to show an ROI right away because it does take time, right? You talked about Samsung starting this back in 2008. Well, now we're 20 years after almost, right? And some of the value that it has and the market share that they have today is a big difference, but it took time to get there. This wasn't something that popped right away, right? Zoom, they had that initial release and initial growth that was fantastic, but they're still in a journey for awareness marketing to continue to grow. What do you think about this, Hop?
Yeah, I mean, I think you touched on it a little bit. During a downturn or recessionary environment, people want, instant results. We need now. And there's always that urgency. And so you see a big shift oftentimes to demand generation. And I think a lot of times people make what I would consider the mistake of demand generation with a focus on new logos during that time, because that is really expensive. And it's not going to give you those instant results that you're looking for anyway. Kind of sounds good on paper, but, it's an often taken misstep over the years that I've seen. I think you got to think about balance in everything. You know, if it's demand gen versus awareness, or cost cutting versus spending on awareness, it's a short-term versus long-term strategy at the end of the day. And you've got to strike that balance. And I think a really, really, really important thing to remember, and it's hard to remember this when we're being bombarded with, news designed to scare us sometimes on the finance side, but recessions don't last forever. Recessions, the average post-war recession length is 10 months. This one in particular is sort of engineered by the Fed to stymie inflation. I mean, we have a Fed that's actively seeking to stymie our economy by raising interest rates, targeting mortgages, increasing the cost of capital, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So first off, you've got to stay on balance. You've got to stay on discipline. And, you know, secondly, you've got to remember this isn't going to last forever. And it probably will last a shorter time than most of us are led to believe.
That's a great point. That's a great point with the recession and the timing of the recession. And, you know, they don't last forever, right? They don't last forever. And one of the pieces that I would talk about specifically, is having a holistic strategy, right? You need to have a holistic strategy that isn't something that is just demand gen. We need something quickly, right? It needs to be a cyclical fashion for a strategy, right? It's something that we talk about with our clients all the time, right? Is we can do stuff to get generation going quickly, but what is the overall strategy, right? Because if we just invest to get something quick, we can do that, but how successful is that going to be for the long term of the business? And one of the things that I always talk about is meeting our buyers where our buyers are, right? The buyer journey has changed drastically over the past 5 years. It's changed all the time, right? But over the past 5 years, especially during the COVID era, everybody working from home, everybody having access to information, right? The buyer journey's changed. By the time they're coming through from a lead perspective, they've done a lot of research. They understand who your business is. They understand the challenges that they have. They understand whether or not your organization is somebody that can truly help with that. And one of the things that I always touch back to is the buyer cycle and their cyclical fashion for budgets, right? You know, in the technology space, a lot of times budgets are based off of five, seven years, right? Think about our licensing model within the space, right? 3 year, 5 year, 7 year, right? There are 1 year options to be able to, you know, combat time, if you will. But the majority of the time from our perspective, we're trying to get them into a 3 year so that we have 3 years to go fish with them, if you will, to help sell, right? And we need to match that as well with our holistic strategy, right? Since there is so much information out there and people are looking for that information, we need to be able to provide that information, which is awareness, right? So that people are understanding what we do so that we are top of mind when that need comes. If they have a five-year budget cycle, that doesn't mean that they're going to be purchasing this year, next year, the year after. It could be 2 years from now, but we want to be educating that buyer because they're out there looking for it anyways.
That's right. That's right. You know, helpful, educational marketing, adoption style marketing. You know, this is an example of, you know, taking all of your digital or taking all your awareness marketing out or all of your search out, and, you know, replacing it with more pure demand generation and net new logo acquisition. You know, you can still drive demand and drive demand within your existing accounts that are probably ready to buy based on what you know about their buying patterns, and get out in front of with an expansionary strategy. And then, you know, you can still afford to go out and do some of that broad-based marketing that's more at the brand level and awareness. That's going to help you accelerate through the downturn. You know, a lot of marketers fail to accept or realize or whatever you want to say, that the sales organization and the customer experience or customer success organizations are the two most powerful and probably most expensive media channels a company has. And so you got to really think about how you leverage those folks in a downturn to get you the short-term results. And then again, can't say it enough. I mean, we saw it with Kellogg's versus Post in the breakfast cereal wars over the years. And that was where Kellogg's pulled away during the Great Depression, because marketing and being growth oriented during that downturn. And that's still, a level of dominance that company still enjoys. So the same thing happened in the 49 recession, 54, 59 or 61, 1981. Bain did like an 18-year study on how companies performed after the 1981 recession. Bears it out once again that if you're growth oriented during these downturns, you really give yourself an opportunity to get outsized growth on the other side of it. I read an article a few years ago, and I can't remember the guy who made the quote, obviously, but the quote was something to the effect of, downturns are kind of like the turns in a horse race. It's hard to make up ground on competition, and it's hard to break away on the straightaways in a horse race. But if you have skill, you can make a move at the turn. And that's a lot of times where races are decided. And I loved that analogy that, you know, viewing recessionary environments or downturns as sort of just a turn in sort of a normal cycle that we all go with, but one that represents opportunity to us, I think is a really good way to think about it. And the best quote that I've ever heard about recessions is from Sam Walton. And it kind of goes along with that. And it's, you know, yeah, there was a recession, but I chose not to participate. And I think that's really the bigger lesson is that, you know, you don't have to participate in this stuff. Just keep it in balance and keep on rolling, sort of a deal.
I love that. I love that Sam Walton quote, by the way. That is a good one. Right. And I think that it's so important to keep things in perspective, right? You know, we've heard about the bounce backs from all the years that you listed of recessions and people taking advantage, if you will, during those times, right? And it's clear to see that, you know, if you aren't doing it, somebody else is, right? Somebody else is out there doing the marketing side of it, being aware with their customers and taking advantage of it. And, you know, one of my favorite quotes is, you know, with every adversity, there's a seed of equal or greater opportunity or benefit planted, right? And with that, right, all it says is we may be in adverse times, right? But our perspective should be, this is a great opportunity, right? Our competition is not taking advantage of this to be top of mind, right? We want to be the first ones to be called, right? And it's a good example because, you know, we are already top of mind with somebody, right? Who are we top of mind with? And we're top of mind with our existing customers today, right? We're already working with them. They know who we are. But in the Zoom case, right? Zoom has a whole platform. Do customers even know about the whole platform, or do they know them just as the verb of let's do a Zoom, right? How do we take advantage of the second way to grow revenue during a difficult time like this, right? We've already talked about the net new clients of being aware and so that we're the first to call when a new opportunity arises, but how do we take advantage of the customers that we have today, right? And be able to expand in what we would consider the loyalty section, right? When we talk about the loyalty section, right, they're already our customers, right? And we don't want to go back to the consideration phase when we're talking about a different solution or talking about a different product that we have. We've already got them in the loyalty stage. We want to keep them in the loyalty stage so that they continue to purchase from us.
Yep, that's right. And again, back, you know, your company is already investing in the resources that you as a marketer or as a business owner or operator need to be successful in this. So it's a matter of just getting your teams to work together. It's not a matter of, okay, I need to go find another X amount of dollars for media budget. It's really just getting your teams on the same page, dialing it in, finding where those customers are, meeting them where they are in their buying cycle from you, and then creating an expansion plan at the right time to go out and renew and expand.
Definitely. Definitely. Right. And especially in the partner community, service provider, consulting side of the house, right? There's a lot that we do, right? There's a lot that we can provide for our customers, right? And a lot of customers are looking for somebody they can do all of those things so that they have a true trusted partner within their environment, right? You may get in on a security deal, right? And having a great security conversation. Well, security touches everything within the ecosystem, right? So if everything is being touched already by security, how are you keeping those people within that loyalty section to say, hey, look, we can help you with your network. We can help you with your cloud practice. We can help you with data center. We can help you with your collaboration practice to support them. Because the last thing that you want to have happen is we've got the security deal. We're doing great things for them. It's fantastic. Oh, well, we need to do a network refresh. And next thing you know, you're up to bat again against the 500,000 other partners out there that they may be considering. And next thing you know, you're in that battle again of margin erosion, right? You've already got a great customer. You've already got a great relationship with them. How do you tackle it and keep them wholly consistent so that you can continue to sell services and continue to grow revenue?
That's right. That's right.
So how do you do this, right? And this is a big piece that comes back together when we talk about sales and marketing, right? It's a team game. It's revenue growth between both parties being on the same page to grow business, right? And especially on that loyalty section, because your sellers are having conversations with those team members every single day, right? You need to continue to build those relationships from a sales perspective, but also through a marketing perspective, right? We want to be able to surround those customers as well. Even if they are existing, we want to invest into those customers. And there's a wide array of tactics that you can do to help support those kind of things. But there's a couple of areas that are very key that we called out, right? Which is frequent touch points. Your sellers are already doing that, but having frequent set touch points with your sellers to understand where they need help, where they need support within those accounts. If you're in the security side, how do you get to the data center side? How do you enable them to get to that side? Couple different ideas here, right? Of, you know, how do you get them to adopt more of your technology, more of your services? Hop, I'd love to hear from you on this as well, right? What do you think?
Well, I mean, again, it's about being helpful. I think the tone and the approach that you take during a recessionary environment is much different as well. I think, you know, this point that you make around adoption is so critical because, you know, you've already sold them something. It's costing them money. They're getting billed for it. Going in and trying to sell them something new on top of something that they may not even be using, you know, half of, that's a bad look. And alternatively going in and saying, what can we do? You guys are only at 50% utilization. You paid for this. It's costing you money. I want to help you guys get more value out of this investment. What do you think is going to happen at the next renewal there? Do you, you know, it's a way that this speaks to not only the work you do and where you focus, but how you show up. And then that has the dual benefit of, you know, probably making that renewal a little more likely, but also it makes your brand great with those clients. And again, next time they need something, are they going to call the guy who was trying to sell them on top of something they already sold them they weren't even using? Or are they going to call the guy who, you know, is in there trying to help them extract as much possible value out of their technology investment that they've already made? So it obvious dual benefit on both the brand and the demand side.
Yeah, and that's a great point, right? Because in difficult times like we are in right now, right, all these deals are taking 3, 4, 5 more signatures, right? Especially the net new business. It's taking 4 or 5 more signatures. Chuck Robbins was just on his last quarterly review call saying that deals are taking, you know, 3 months longer because there is a review process. Just because we're feeling the recession doesn't mean our customers aren't, right? Everybody out here is feeling that pressure. And so being able to not only grow revenues, but also protect what you have, right? There's competition out there. There's people coming in that are going after your customers that you have today that are doing awareness marketing, trying to be top of mind and focus on landing that net new business, to trying to pull them out of your loyalty stage so that they can land the new business, right? So if you aren't doing it, even to your own customers, somebody else is, right? Somebody else is out there trying to do that and support those customers. And so you really need to focus on not only the growth aspect, but also protecting, right? Protect what you have and grow it from there. So again, we talk about tactics, right, as a part of a holistic strategy from a marketing perspective. But I think the biggest thing is, right, if you can only do one thing, you need to focus on that relationship, right? Focus on growing that relationship with your customers, you know, and also internally, right? Growing, you know, your brand internally with your team so that they understand where the vision is and what the team is doing moving forward, as we've touched on a couple of times. But that relationship is so key. In that loyalty section, the only way to keep that thing is building that relationship and continuing to grow that relationship, whether it leads to direct revenue growth or protecting that revenue that you have today.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, doing the right thing is the right thing. And, you know, whether it's for business or otherwise, that, you know, during these periods where times are tight, staying close to your customer, you know, trying to maintain in your sales approach, but really importantly, from a marketing perspective, that empathetic tone, that how can we help? People don't like to be sold to when they're sort of over the barrel or perceive that they're over the barrel. So going in with a helpful, educational, and importantly too, you know, a financial outcome based approach during times like this. You know, it's essential. And again, you get the benefit, you get that brand afterglow and it puts you in better position for when the skies do clear to capture that growth revenue.
Totally. And, you know, even, you know, it's more prevalent now, right? Talking about financial outcomes, because everybody is very concerned about the financial outcome, right? And it's funny because that should always be a big driver for you, right? As you're in there focusing on those financial outcomes, because we're in a capitalistic society, right? Whether we like it or not, that's what people care about, right? Revenue, cost, risk, cash flow optimization, right? And so understanding that is extremely important. And right now, it's just top tier, top of mind for everybody today.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's the last thing I would sort of leave everybody with is, and if you're probably running into it already, but you know, when Cisco talks about 3 months extra and three or four more signatures, I guarantee two of those are people in finance. So I think everything you do for the next 8 months, you need to have in mind that ultimately you're selling to the chief financial officer of your customer in some way, shape, or form. So yeah, good luck and keep grinding and keep doing the right thing. I think that's the thing to keep in mind. And also that these things don't last forever. And really they do represent an opportunity zone for a lot of companies.
Totally, totally. And to wrap up here, right, you know, kind of putting a bow on the conversation, right? It's important to be known, liked, and trusted, right? And being able to do that is through awareness marketing, being top of mind, being there when the time arises, so that when the time arises, they know who to call, right? And they're calling somebody that is trusted. The trust signals are out there. You're doing the awareness side of it so that you can capture that and really take advantage of the opportunity that's presented in front of you. We've talked about a lot today, Hop. I mean, we've gone back and forth from the two different ways to make money. We've talked about the awareness side of it and fighting in the consideration phase too much within the partner ecosystem. We've talked about the loyalty section and being able to capitalize upon those existing customers that you have to either grow or protect those revenues that you have today. You know, I'd love to hear from you just last thoughts that you may have today.
Yeah, just to net it out, I mean, and at the risk of sounding tactical or repetitive, I mean, I think an environment like this invites people to, fight to keep marketing budgets flat. You know, you're not going to get an increase right now. Let's be real. But to orient that raw dollar spend towards awareness marketing, making sure that you're positioning yourself for growth and greater market share and potentially market dominance down the road. And then do use your already paid for or already accounted for internal resources and partnerships to go after those existing customers in a, you know, from a marketing perspective, in a low cost fashion, but one that is going to give you that more short term benefit where you'll be able to expand in some of those accounts potentially or win renewals, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, when I think about very specific thinking around short-term, long-term, I'd sum it up as such. And again, I think that the important thing to consider too is, you know, that this isn't going to last forever. So I think that staying disciplined and sticking to your guns is the way to go.
Totally. A holistic strategy, right? A holistic strategy that encompasses all different aspects, right? To be able to drive growth of revenue, right? It's a difficult time, and that's ultimately what we need to do and figure out how to do it. And a holistic strategy is a great way to do it.
That's right.
So the last thing that we have today is an offer for the attendees today. This is a free SEO analysis, right? Competitive analysis. So going ahead and you can click on that link. I'll drop it into the chat as well after I stop sharing the screen here so that you have it. Ultimately, what this is to help with that awareness side, right? Where are you ranking against your top competitors, right? Getting an understanding of being first to mind. We're all using Google. We're all searching for stuff, right? How are you the one that's being top of mind for those customers that are looking for those certain solutions or those certain challenges that they're trying to face? So Hop, I want to thank you so much for taking the time this morning to chat with us. Your insight is invaluable, especially for me. I can't thank you enough, and I can't thank you enough for Vation Ventures allowing you to come over and chat with us today. We're looking forward to working with Vation Ventures coming up soon with our partnership that we have, and we know that we can do a lot of great things together, so thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for the invite, Sam. It was great to be here today with you and talk a little bit about this stuff. Much appreciated, man.
Perfect. Oh, hang on. Before we jump off, let's see here. Oh, no, we had the chat disabled, it looked like. Shoot. That's apologies for that. We saw it in the Q&A. It looks like we did have some people coming through saying Samsung. But before we jump off, while we've got Hop and I here, are there any questions that maybe Hop and I can answer from the conversation today? Give it a minute while I pull that link. No. Perfect. Well, it doesn't look like we have any questions coming in. So thank you all for the time for joining us this morning to listen to Hop and I chat about the importance of making our competition invisible to our next prospect. So thank you so much, Hop. Really appreciate the time.
Thanks, Sam.
You've been listening to Send This to Your CEO, the B2B Tech Marketing Podcast. Tune in next time for more insights and strategies to stay ahead in B2B tech.